Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Lozada, and today we're talking about the incredible structural changes your body goes through during pregnancy and postpartum. How does relaxin and changes in blood volume affect your whole body? How does what's happening to the pelvis relate to the uterus and the baby inside the uterus? How do you get back to alignment after birth? And how does breastfeeding affect all these changes? Molly Deutschbein has answers. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Vistaprint, helping you own the now in any situation. Get 500 high-quality custom business cards starting at $9.99 when you go to vistaprint.com/birthful. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Unspoken Stories, a new podcast from March of Dimes featuring real stories from the joys of parenthood to what happens when things don't go according to plan. Subscribe to Unspoken Stories wherever you get your podcasts and learn more at unspokenstories.org. The Birthful Podcast, talking to maternity pros and new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. As always, thank you so very much for all the love you give the show. If what you hear is helpful, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And while you're at it, feel free to leave a review or a rating. If you'd like to further support this podcast, support its sponsors, which in this week's case are Vistaprint and Unspoken Stories. Also, a quick reminder that if you want to truly prepare for the first few weeks with your newborn, go to birthfulcourses.com and sign up for my Thrive with Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes. Do it now before baby arrives so we can get you postpartum ready. And if you want to further support the podcast and gain access to ad-free episodes and the extra content that we produce, then go to patreon.com/birthful to become an official Birthful supporter. For this episode, the extra content is a visual reference handout to help you support your posture and structural alignment during pregnancy. All right, so today I am renewing an episode with my dear friend Molly Deutschbein, who is an expert in all things related to the soft tissues of the body, alignment, and the nervous system. And I'm super excited for all of you to listen to this. So welcome, Molly. I am so super delighted to have you here on the show because I love talking to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And so today we're talking about structural changes, body changes in pregnancy and postpartum and all that maternity year. Before we jump right in with that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am a body worker and doula in Rochester, New York. I went to massage school so that I could be a craniosacral therapist. So that's my primary modality. But before that, I was a childbirth educator and a Little H.E. League leader. And a lot of my practice has always been with pregnant moms, moms with fertility challenge, babies who are having trouble settling or with breastfeeding. And now I've gone back into actually attending births, which is very exciting. So I just have a private practice here where I focus on my doula work and my body work, and I incorporate a lot from spinning babies and the Arvigo abdominal massage and craniosacral therapy. They all come together for a really nice, well-rounded approach to keeping people healthy through the childbearing season.
And I love that you're always learning and adding more things. You're like me, really curious of like, ooh, what about this part of, and how does this connect with that? And all the things integrate, which is why I thought you were the perfect person to come and talk about these structural changes, because you have this very holistic approach. So I'm very excited.
Thank you. And I'm really excited to be here. I love sharing your podcast with my, my clients who are trying to get pregnant or who are pregnant, and they find it so helpful. So I'm grateful to be part of it.
Yay. Yeah. Let's spread the word. So Molly, let's focus on pregnancy a little bit. What are those structural changes, major things that happen and that we need to know about?
Well, I think there is we could get so super nerdy with this. Let's be really clear. Your body is an amazing it's an amazing thing in that we go through this incredible metamorphosis when we're pregnant. And if I like to go back to when ourselves as the pregnant person, when we're born, we actually go through this fantastic circulatory change, you know, going from the baby in the womb to actually being outside the body. And when we go through puberty, we have these amazing things that happen again, where the body restructures. And then when we go into pregnancy, this happens again, that we have to change how blood moves through our body, how the connective tissue is working in our body so that we can support the pregnancy. It's, I think from a very natural point of view, it's very tempting to say, oh, a normal woman just becomes a woman with a baby in her uterus, and that's what it means to have a normal, healthy pregnancy. But that's not really true. Her body has to go through these significant changes in focus in order to have an environment that will hold a baby safely through pregnancy and then deliver that baby into the world. And one of the biggest changes, and that's the lens I want to look at for our talk, is in blood flow. In order to support the growing uterus and the growing baby, we need to increase our blood supply by 50%. So that means if I have 2 cups of blood, by the end of the pregnancy, I'm going to have 3 cups of blood. That's a huge increase in volume. So a lot of things have to happen in order to support that. So,
And why do we need to increase, like, where does this extra blood flow, or what is its function?
Well, so the blood volume is going to help us move around the things that need to be moved around. We've got a lot of hormones and fluids that have to be moving through pregnancy. It's also going to help us build that uterus to something, I can't remember, CF, now I've lost one of my nerdy numbers, but the uterus grows to like 10 times its original size. You know, it has to become this very large container. We're also building a placenta and the pool of blood that the placenta is sitting in. So those are things that we need a lot of blood for. Plus, towards the end of pregnancy, we naturally have some extra blood so that as we're delivering the baby, if there's some blood loss, we've got some extra, you know, the body has a little extra to give there so that we don't bleed out really quickly.
But like a safe gap.
Yes, yes. So one of the things that's required in order to accommodate this increased blood volume is that our blood vessels actually have to become more relaxed. Pregnant women have a drop in blood pressure, and that is because of the hormone relaxin. And that's where I'm really going with this conversation, is relaxin. Because relaxin affects so many things in the body. It used to be, you know, 30 years ago when I first started teaching childbirth classes, we thought relaxin came on the scene somewhere at the end of pregnancy because it was going to help loosen the ligaments of the pelvis and help the baby get out. Well, as it turns out, relaxin affects, of course, the whole body. And one of the really important roles of relaxin is that it helps our blood vessels have less tone so that we can allow more blood to flow. The other thing that it does is it affects the tone of the uterus right from the beginning. So a lot of pregnant women, they get a little confused. Their joints feel loose in the beginning of pregnancy. Well, that's because the relaxin is active then. It's actually produced by the corpus luteum, the stuff that's left behind in the ovary after the egg is expelled. It's produced then. And then it's also produced in what's left of the endometrium. It's called the decidua. That was my new vocabulary for yesterday. That's the endometrial tissue that's inside the uterus. So both in the ovary and in the uterus, this relaxin is being created right from the beginning of pregnancy. So it helps with this blood volume accommodation of the blood vessels, but it also soothes the uterus so that it's not going to contract. In those early days of pregnancy, that's really important because you've got this very delicate set of cells that have to find a place in the uterus when to start creating the placenta and making a home. And if the uterus was contracting, that would be difficult. So relaxin is really important for that too.
Yeah, it would be like little earthquakes to this egg that's trying to settle
exactly.
in, moving the
I
territory.
I love that. That's a wonderful image, Adriana. So what happens when our blood vessels have lower tone in them? Well, one of the first things that you might see is swelling in the legs and feet. So mamas who used to have these very, you know, tight skinned feet and ankles can get a little distressed when they start to find the fluid is starting to accumulate down there. We don't want too much, right? I mean, unhealthy edema in pregnancy is not a good sign, but that can be one of the things that gravity is working on those fluids too, and the blood vessels can't get that fluid up. So it's really important from the beginning of pregnancy for pregnant people to get their feet up, get their feet over, you know, lay down on your couch with your feet up high enough so that they're over higher than your heart, and pump your feet back and forth and help those blood vessels to get the lymph and the venous return back to the heart. The same thing is true for your arms and hands, because a lot of the day our hands, our wrists, you know, they're below the level of our heart. And what can happen is, you know, pregnant women can end up with carpal tunnel syndrome because of that fluid accumulation in the hands. So if you're finding that you're getting a lot of fluid accumulation in your arms and hands, assist gravity, you know, assist the system with some gravity and lift those hands and arms up over your head. Even better, hang from a pull-up bar. That is so good for you because it really helps pump all of that extra fluid back down into the trunk of your body where your body can accommodate it.
I love it. And I, you know, when you read books about pregnancy, you hear some symptoms. You could get carpal tunnel syndrome and all of that. But knowing where it comes from and what you can do to alleviate it and help, you know, have it accumulate less, because it tends to show up more towards the end of pregnancy, that carpal tunnel aches, right? In my experience.
Yes.
But being mindful of that from the beginning, not only just because of you're trying to love your wrists, but your whole body's gonna benefit from it.
Yeah, and the other thing to take into consideration if someone's really struggling with this puffiness problem is finding more ways to get protein in the body. You know, there's some controversy about how much protein you really need. And I don't think a number is as important as what is your body doing. You know, as we go through pregnancy, we can use our body not as a, oh, this is going wrong, but okay, what is that saying to me? Is that saying to me, like, I have a lot of nurses in my practice, and when they're pregnant, they're on their feet through a 12-hour shift. Their bodies start to tell them, you need to get your feet up more. You know, that's just a pretty simple thing. The other thing that might be happening with some of this puffiness is that the body needs more protein, not so much the protein itself, but those amino acids that it uses to build all the different proteins that it needs. You know, we take the protein in, we digest it, and then we can reassemble all those amino acids in different ways that we need. And there are times when we're not getting enough protein in our food. We might be eating even really good food. But I don't want that to sound like women should be getting more meat. You can get a lot of protein from plant sources. You just have to do some quick Googling and find out all the quick and easy ways to get protein in your diet without eating a lot of meat. But sometimes that's a sign, too, that pregnancy requires a little more protein in your diet, and maybe you're just not getting enough.
Yeah, and I'll link Lily Nichols' episode on eating for pregnancy, which she has a fantastic book, and that'll be like, if people want more information on that, they can extend that way, for sure.
Oh, excellent. Very good.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back to talk about more of those big changes that the body goes through. We'll be right back. Creating business cards can feel daunting, but with Vistaprint, it doesn't have to be. Quite the contrary, I have personally created and reordered cards with Vistaprint through the years, and I appreciate that it's an easy and affordable process that allows me to make a great professional first impression, because having a business card ready to hand out is quite often the first step to making something happen. Those moments of opportunity happen all the time because you never know who you're going to meet at a local birth networking event or at a prenatal yoga class or even at the playground. Your next big opportunity is coming right now, and all it takes for you to feel like you're ready to own the now with professional business cards is $10. That's a really low price to get seen in a new way. A custom card with the colors, fonts, designs, and images you choose means you can look and feel like a big deal whether you're starting up or have been doing this for a while. And it doesn't have to be hard. With Vistaprint, you can create a truly professional, unique card in minutes. The process goes like this. First, you upload your own design or start with one of Vistaprint's professionally designed options. They offer simple tools and a wide range of templates to choose from. Then you pick your paper stock, choose your delivery speed, place your order, and receive your cards in as few as 3 days. Vistaprint uses only carefully selected inks and responsibly sourced paper stocks, and they have, like I said, dozens of designs to pick from, or you can upload your own. Vistaprint wants you to be able to own the now in any situation, which is why our listeners will get 500 high-quality custom business cards starting at $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com/birthful. That's Vistaprint.com/birthful. Vistaprint.com/birthful. And we're back talking with Molly Deutschbein about the structural changes in the body. And I love how you start us with, you know, that landscape of what that uterus needs to do in order to, along with the fertilized egg, to create all that, like how it stems from that into the cosmos of the body.
Yes.
So we've got the blood flow and how that changes in terms of edema. What other changes are needed?
Well, so as we start to carry the baby around, right? Like initially in the first 3 months of pregnancy, the uterus is in its usual position for whatever that is for that woman. And that's another thing we don't think about very much, is where is the uterus in the pelvis when we're not pregnant? And that can cause all sorts of interesting symptoms with menstruation. So women who have had painful periods, difficulty conceiving, periods that were where the blood flow was clotty or very dark in the beginning, those are the women that I want to start working with early, because that indicates that maybe the uterus has a little torque on it. It's got a little torsion. And so in order to menstruate, the uterus has to work really hard. It's got to cramp a little harder in order to get all of the menstrual tissue outside of it. So the baby's inside the uterus, and the uterus is attached to the pelvis with 13 ligaments. And the position of that uterus and how it's interacting with the pelvis is going to have a huge effect on how comfortable this person is carrying this baby around. So we've got the relaxin helping to open the pelvis and make all of our structures a little more easy to deal with. It helps make the ligaments a little more stretchy. But we want to be aware that how the uterus is sitting in the pelvis is going to affect how, as it grows with baby inside of it, as it stretches and becomes bigger and adds more muscle mass so that it can be, at the end, it's not just a container. At the end, it becomes this big pushing muscle. The contractions are used to expel the baby, right? So we want the uterus to be nice and healthy at the end. We also want it to be positioned in such a way that it's able to work really efficiently. And because baby is in the uterus, we want baby to be able to move within the uterus and within the pelvis, within the mother's abdomen, in such a way that it can get out in the most efficient way possible.
Mm.
So
Yeah, and I know that a lot of people really focus on, and we've started to focus more on, like, what's baby's position. In generally broad strokes, people are aware of, well, if baby's breech, then usually that's a sign that at this point in time in our U.S. healthcare, usually it's you have to have a cesarean. And then people are aware of, like, baby in a posterior position, and that might lead to back labor. But it's a lot more complicated than that. And I really appreciate the idea that it's not so much that baby got into a weird position, but that it got into the position that it could, like the position that was available from this uterine shape.
Exactly. And that uterine shape is very dependent upon posture and what's going on with mama's body. So as the uterus gets bigger and comes out of, so at first it's in the pelvic bowl and makes us need to pee all the time, right? And as it gets bigger, it expands so that it's big enough that now it's above the inlet of the pelvis and starting to come forward a little bit. And so as we move into the fourth, fifth trimester of pregnancy, it's normal to get some anterior pelvic tilt. And that's when you think of someone with their butt sticking out. That's a little bit more of that dancer, you know, a ballerina poking out butt is more of the normal pregnancy posture. We don't want too much because it's going to strain the back, especially with the ligaments being softer. So we can have the uterus start to move too far forward if there's too much of an anterior pelvic tilt. But in our world that we live in today, we're more likely to see the opposite, which is where, and I'm going to pick on my yoga friends a little bit, we're often told in yoga to tuck our tails in. This idea of tucking your tail puts the pelvis in something called posterior pelvic tilt, which means that our tailbone is going under. This is really not something that is great for pregnant people because it puts a lot of stress on the ligaments on the back of the sacrum. It also encourages the baby to stay in the pelvic bowl as much as possible. The pelvic bowl is actually more like a cornucopia than a bowl. So it's not that the pelvis is holding the uterus, it's that it's actually like a cornucopia. The uterus is sitting in the front of it, and the uterus is not supposed to be wedging down into that bowl all the time. So when we tilt the uterus so that it's more like a bowl, the uterus will sit, or when we tilt the pelvis so it's like a bowl, the uterus will sit in it. And then when babies found a position, it's going to stay in that position, whatever that position is. Whereas if the uterus is more like it's sitting in that cornucopia, baby can twirl around. Baby can move in lots of different directions. Baby can have a lot more options for what is the best way to negotiate with this body and this pelvis. The other thing is we have some beautifully fit pregnant people right now, so fit with their abdomens that they're so tight that it's hard for baby and the uterus to stretch those abdominal muscles out into the anterior of the body. And not having that right relationship of how the pelvis is tilting, that can cause a lot of back problems. And it in addition to, you know, holding the baby in ways that may make it more difficult for the baby to come out easily, it causes a lot of stress in those lower lumbar joints or on the, if baby's really wedged down, you can start to see some pubic symphysis problems where there's a lot of pain right in the front.
Mm. And you know, the body communicates with you all the time. So all of these pains and sensations that we always say, oh, those are normal for pregnancy and they're normal for because you're growing a baby. Yes, but it's normal to have some aches because things are shifting. But if you're having serious discomfort always in the same place, like I appreciate, you know, listen to that and go back to your posture and see how this is affecting and what you can do about it. And we often think, okay, like a chiropractic adjustment will really be beneficial for that, or cranial sacral, or any kind of heavy, more intense body repositioning can help. But there's also and I've learned this from you, many simple things that people can do to improve their aches. So what's the easiest way to make sure you're not doing that posterior pelvic tilt and sort of going with your anterior pelvic tilt or putting the pelvis in a nice proper position that will allow the uterus to be a cornucopia and not just sitting in a bowl?
I'll tell you, in our culture, this is really hard. So, because it's everything is set up for us to be sitting in a posterior pelvic tilt in an overstuffed chair or an office chair that tilts you back in your cars, those bucket seats. So the things that you can do, one is, I know this may sound hard, is to try your best to always sit on a firm chair. And on the edge of the chair, our pelvis is made so that we're supposed to sit not just on the sits bones, right? Everybody knows about their ischial tuberosities that if in yoga class they say, find your sit bones. Okay, I know where those are.
Can you explain
But
what those are, just for those who don't know about their sit bones?
if you put your hand under your butt when you're sitting in a chair, if you feel these hard knobs that are what you're sitting on,
And there's two
those are
of
your
them, one
sit
on each,
bones.
like one of
Yep.
each.
One on each side. So those are the two are two parts of your tripod. We end up sitting on just those two. But the third part, if you're sitting in a more appropriate position, is the front of your pelvis, where the two halves of the pubic ramus come together to form your pubic bone. And your pubic symphysis is this very special cartilaginous joint in women and females that allows that pelvic bowl to open up a little bit more in pregnancy when that softens. We don't really ever get told that we're supposed to sit on that, but in actuality, we are. That's the third part of our triangle. So we've got our sit bones underneath our butts, and then we've got our pubic bone. And if you sit so that you're on those sit bones and leaning into your pubic bone, that gives you the perfect tripod for posture, and your pelvis will automatically be in the right position when you're doing that. And you can get for your car, I think at Bed Bath & Beyond for $9.99, there's this little back thing that allows you to have that curve in your back while you're still in the safety of the bucket seat. That's good because that's important. We don't want to take away the bucket from the car because that's what keeps you in the seat if there's an accident. But we can put like a roll of a blanket or one of these things, that helps put the curve in your back, and that will keep that proper pelvic tilt there for you so that you're not sitting back on the sacrum and the tailbone.
And we often recommend sitting on an exercise ball, on a what we call, because we're birthy people, on a birth ball. Is that just because of the how you sit on there? Is that more helpful? You have more the propensity to sit properly on a ball?
I think there's that, but I think there's also the fact that you can sit more properly and have some softness, and you can work with the fluidity of the, it gives you a little more motion and movement of the pelvis, because there are all these little micro movements going on. So that's much more healthful if you're sitting at a desk all day, or you have to be sitting down. Those little micro movements can be helpful, but I really caution people who use those. It's very easy when you're used to sitting back. You can train yourself to sit in a posterior pelvic tilt on a birth ball too.
That's a skill.
Well, and if it's what we're used to, it's what we're going to move into. You
Right.
know, the body likes to do what it's used to doing.
And I think it's interesting to have this retraining of the body when it's when it's shifting so much. And that retraining when things are shifting, it's like this overarching theme that happens during pregnancy for your mind, for your spirit, for like all parts of you have to get sort of, because things are shifting so much, you're forced to reconsider and just shake it up, right? And hopefully land in a better place than you were before.
Yeah, which is great preparation for parenting, right? I mean,
No
every
kidding.
time you think that you've got this thing figured out with this little person, something changes. We have to change with it.
Absolutely. So is there anything else to the so wait, you were talking about the uterine positioning, and what if you do have a generally forward, like I've heard the term pendulous uterus.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know what the incidence of that is, or but if it's high enough that we should talk about it, what can you do, or what are some of the things to pay attention to?
Well, I think when the uterus is, Gail Tully has a great tool for this. What she tells you to do is put a flashlight at your navel, and if the flashlight is pointing straight forward, you're fine. If it's pointing straight up, that's interesting. But the real one to pay attention to is if it's pointing down, because that means that the uterus may be too far over the pubic bone, and baby's head might actually just kind of hang out on there instead of being able to move into the bowl. So we want to encourage the uterus to move back a little bit. And indigenous people have had solutions for this forever, all sorts of different ways of wearing what in Central America is called a faja, wrapping something like a rebozo around the belly. The Japanese have a way of wrapping. We have, if you go to a physical therapist, that we have belly wraps that are, they've got stretchy parts and Velcro parts, and that's to help support the uterus so that it's not moving forward so much and stretching all of those ligaments in ways that can be quite painful. Sometimes with the pendulous uterus, there's a lot of round ligament pain because of that extra stretching. And those of us who've experienced round ligament pain, it feels like baby's poking straight down into your cervix or straight into your vagina or your labia. And that's because the round ligament actually inserts there. It's attached at close to the top surface of the uterus, and that's one end. And the other end is in your pubic area. So when the uterus is moving in such a way that it's stretching those round ligaments, and they have to stretch a great deal just for the uterus to grow, you can get these shooting pains down into your crotch that are very uncomfortable. And there are ways to help with that, to release and relax and give that some support. And one of the ways is wearing and get some professional guidance with this, because we don't want you to do anything that's going to hurt yourself. But wearing something that you wrap around to help give your uterus some support and your belly some support.
And to give you that support without tucking the tailbone, right? Because that's like the original thing you want to like it in my mind positioning. If I want to bring the belly in, I tuck.
Right. Oh, Adriana, that is such a good point. Yes, because that's what we need, is to bring the belly back and give the back a little support so that it doesn't feel like it needs to tuck under like that. Yeah. And it's really not that hard to do. Often we, like we said before, we move our bodies in the way that we're accustomed to. And so once we feel that, oh my gosh, it can be comfortable a different way, we can move into that. But it's hard to come up with those solutions by yourself if you don't know what they are, or you're not watching other women do those things. We live in a culture where pregnancy is still a very private activity. Women don't talk a lot about some of the more problematic symptoms that they're experiencing. And the solutions that they found, because they feel like those are private things. They're things that relate to sexuality and relate to body. And oh my gosh, we live in a culture where, unless your belly looks a certain way, it's not a cute pregnant belly, right? So it's hard to find solutions on your own when you live in a place where, even with the internet and mama groups and everything, it can be hard to find honest, complete information. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think that's, fortunately, I do feel like that's shifting a little bit. We're starting to, like we're doing right here, talking more about it and realizing that we've come at this idea of the core from a fitness perspective. And I think now we're starting to understand that that core is essential for functioning and and health. And that shift, I think, plays an enormous part during pregnancy and postpartum. But yeah, I like that. I think that shift is going to help us to be more open in our conversations. Molly, let's take another quick break and we'll be right back. Unspoken Stories is a new podcast from March of Dimes, showcasing honest conversations about pregnancy, parenthood, and loss. Hosted by mom, actress, and advocate Tatiana Ali, each episode features a parent's honest story about the realities of starting a family, and you can listen to Unspoken Stories for free wherever you get your podcasts or by visiting unspokenstories.org. We see a lot of perfect images of pregnancy, birth, and parenting, even though we know that no pregnancy, birth, or parent is perfect. This can be misleading and even isolating. In the Unspoken Stories podcast, you're going to hear about real stories, from the joys of parenting and the complexities of dealing with illness, with actress and mom Jamie Lynn Sigler, a mom coping with loss and raising two toddlers, to the realities of parenting a baby born prematurely. These moms and dads have the courage to speak up and share their laughter, tears, and triumphs so that no one has to feel alone in their experience. For example, in the second episode, you're going to hear about Jay and Tatiana, who fell in love and started a family. But when daughter Tegan was born early at 26 weeks, their family spent 16 weeks in the NICU. Hear how they made it through with laughter, support, and lots of food. I hope you will join this important conversation, whether you are a parent or are considering becoming one. Subscribe to Unspoken Stories for free wherever you get your podcasts and learn more by visiting unspokenstories.org. That's unspokenstories.org. And we are back talking about shifts, structural body changes and shifts in during pregnancy and postpartum. And yeah, you and I, when we get together talking about this, it's so fascinating. Like, I love, we're such body geeks, seriously.
Well, and I want to add something to what we were saying before in terms of what happens to the belly. There's something called diastasis recti, which, different people say it different ways too. You might hear it as diastasis recti or in other combinations of those two words.
Yeah, I do a combination. But I do diastasis recti. So I bunch together those two.
Who knows? I don't know the right way to say it. I've heard all the professionals say it all the different ways. But what happens is those, the six pack part of a six pack ab, you know, there's the rectus abdominis is in the center of your belly, it's the most superficial abdominal muscle. And it's the one where when people have really cut abs, where you see that six pack. And you can see down the middle, there's this line. And inside that line is ligamentous tissue. So it's thick connective tissue, but it's not muscle. And what can happen with pregnancy, because you've got this rapid growth, you know, relatively rapid growth of the uterus and the baby inside the uterus, that can create an opening in the linea alba, which is that structure that's in between the six packs on either side. And if that starts to open, there's no longer appropriate pressure inside of the abdomen. So we can start to see some digestive stuff because the intestines need the pressure inside the abdomen to stay the same so that they can do their work. As things are moving through there, they need a certain amount of back pressure happening. And also that's when that uterus really starts to move forward like that. We often see some diastasis recti there because the structural integrity of the abdomen isn't holding. And the irony is that just because you've got a really killer set of abdominal muscles doesn't mean you're going to avoid this diastasis recti. As a matter of fact, many fitness people already have them from working out as much as they do. So it's not like there's a way to know ahead of time that this is going to happen or that there's a way to prevent it as it's happening. You just need to be aware that this is can be a problem. And the way we use our core really affects whether it becomes a bigger problem or a smaller problem. And aftercare postpartum is really important in trying to bring those two halves back together as much as possible.
Yeah. And I will link to the episode I have on diastasis recti for more information on that, because that's like a huge topic on
yes.
its own. It's so,
yep.
so intricate. And in terms of trying to fix that, because doing more crunches is not, it's going to make it worse.
No.
Like that's
yes.
not going to help it out.
Exactly. That's the thing. The thing that you think is going to help it is actually going to make it much worse.
Right.
Yep.
So, but I don't want to go too much down that path with you, because I know you have other unique information to share with us that I haven't covered before. So in terms of the structural changes during pregnancy, was there anything else you wanted to make sure we talked about before maybe moving on into some moments of birth and then postpartum and breastfeeding?
No, I think we can move on, because there's lots to talk about still. Yes.
Yeah. So where do you want to go?
Well, okay, so here's a nice segue. Let's talk about breasts. As we're pregnant.
I'm gonna, like,
right?
That's a perfect, like, I'm just going to take that out of context and have that be a gif or not, or like a meme. Let's talk about breasts.
Let's talk about breasts. So all of us, we go through puberty, and I don't know about anybody else, but all of a sudden there was this thing in my line of vision, like all these, there were these things on my chest, like it was distracting to me. And then when I got pregnant, probably the very first thing I noticed were breast changes.
Me
you know,
too.
The
day after. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
immediate.
A totally immediate. Now that doesn't happen for everybody,
no.
but it's a pretty common thing that, you know, the areolas change color, and all of a sudden the breasts just feel like they start getting bigger, 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 bigger. And women who didn't have them before have got more tissue, and women who did have them before, they just get bigger. And you're wondering, you know, how many bra sizes am I going to go up? Another important thing in terms of dealing with the changes in structure is that as the rib cage is expanding in the later part of pregnancy, and your bras are getting tighter and tighter because you don't want to buy new ones, right? It's important to have a very loose bra so that as the rib cage is opening, there's no resistance to that. Again, giving the uterus and the baby as much range of motion as possible so that they can expand in the way they need to, but also allowing that breast tissue to expand, because we've got the breasts are in the front, but also they go into the axilla, you know, into the underarm region of our bodies. And all of that is building in anticipation of having this baby. And of course, it's building at a time when your ligaments are being affected by this relaxin. You actually do have connective tissue, support tissue in the breast that's affected by the relaxin too. So we might worry about the, you know, having perky or upright breasts, particularly with a first baby. We need to be really mindful of our posture with our shoulders, because we, as the breasts get heavier, we start to lean forward. So finding a good balance between a bra that gives you the support that you feel you need so that you can go to work and do the things that you need to do every day, but also gives you enough movement so that the rib cage can expand. And then remembering to keep those shoulders moving backward, not in a directly towards your back motion, but you want to imagine your scapulas moving slowly down the back of your rib cage, which is more of a rotation of the shoulders. And that allows your shoulders to stay down, your breasts to stay in a normal position, your chest and your rib cage be nice and neutral with that neutral pelvis that you have. That gives you your structural integrity for carrying the extra weight of these bigger breasts that you're going to be carrying around.
Mm. And I find, like, in my daily life also, like, it's a trick to do that, to rotate back not just pull the shoulders, but rotate and make that scapula move closer together and down to create a different opening while not sticking out the ribs.
Yes, that rib thrust is a big problem, especially, again, for those of us who've trained as dancers or we've done a lot of yoga. You know, we're trying to move the sternum up. So we think, oh, I'm going to have a nice wide chest with the sternum going forward. So, woo, up comes that rib cage. So a helpful tip for that is if you feel the bottom of your rib cage just underneath where your nipple line is, and you find the top of your hips, what we call the anterior, superior, whatever it is, it's the ASIS. If you put your hands in both those places so that they're in line with each other in a flat plane, like if you put a board across your hips and your ribs, that would be flat. That's that neutral position. And all of us who drive and read books and watch TV and sit in overstuffed couches, when we put ourselves in that neutral position, we'll find that our shoulders are forward. Then we roll them back, the scapula's down along the ribs. And then we're like, oh my gosh, now my head is really far out there. So that gives you a truer indication of where your posture is at and the stress that your body's under trying to maintain that posture than just thrusting your ribs up, which is why people tend to go for the rib thrust so that they can cool themselves. And in pregnancy and especially postpartum when we're breastfeeding, that rib thrust can really hide a lot of things that are going to turn into problems later if we don't deal with them. You know, we don't want to have back problems because we've been holding our chest incorrectly. It's worth paying attention to.
Oh, that's such a great point. And I like the visual of what to align for a neutral. Like, I have never heard that before of doing the top of the hip or that front top of the hip with the bottom mid rib where your nipple line, right?
That's a Katie Bowman thing. That's right out of her work.
Katie Bowman!
Yes, love Katie Bowman.
So what else do you want to talk about? We talked breasts just now. Where are we going now?
We love talking about breasts. Well, so... You know, so the structural stuff of pregnancy, if we come back to my friend Relaxin, right? Relaxin may take up to a year to clear. So why would that be? Well, because we still need to move a lot of blood around. Our blood volume is going to come down, but as long as we're feeding that baby, we still need to have a lot of resources moving through the body. The body is still changing. Like, we wouldn't want the body to go into a more rigid form soon after the birth because everything's got to move slowly back into place. The body likes to do things slowly over time. So as we're nursing the baby, and the baby is growing, right? At first, the baby comes out. We think it's heavy because it's 8 pounds. Well, by 6 months, that might be a 25-pounder, you know, with some babies they are. So as we're holding the baby, we want to be very conscious of what kind of support do we need. And again, in our culture, we have this Madonna pose of mother nursing the baby, holding the baby horizontally across her body. And she appears to be absolutely effortless holding her baby this way. But all of us who have nursed, we understand that if you try to be posturally correct and hold your baby like that, your back's going to hurt all the time and your arms aren't strong enough. So it's important to support your changing structure by having something underneath the baby or experiment with other positions that allow baby to be like with reclined nursing, where baby's just kind of laying along mama, or even a football hold where baby can be alongside. Whatever we're doing, we want to make sure that we're not pulling the breasts down, the baby's not pulling the breasts down, and that our shoulders aren't going, you know, kind of following that movement and getting all hunched over as that relaxant is leaving us in whatever position we've been in for that year after the baby's been born. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and also because that relaxin is slowly leaving you after that year, it's kind of like you have this chance for the year after to realign and reposition and bring things into whatever shape you want it to be more set into as the relaxin leaves, and then your body's not, these ligaments are not as flexible, and you kind of like now are quote unquote stuck there. Yeah. And I really appreciate also the mantra of bring baby to breast, not breast to baby.
Well, especially I'll tell you when I because I see so many mamas with breastfeeding issues, right? We're working on all sorts of soft tissue restrictions or whatever is happening in baby's mouth and baby's body is making it difficult and to latch. Mamas will twist themselves into pretzels to get that latch right. And often they don't care if they're hanging upside down, if as long as they can get that baby latched correctly. So some of my work with them is just encouraging them to be like, okay, now we've got the baby on. How do we make this work for you? Right? Because it's not just about the baby. This has to work for you. How can we position your body now so that you are able to maintain your own structural health while you're taking exquisitely good care of your baby? Those things are both equally important.
Yes, absolutely. No, love it. So what else? Like I'm at your mercy right now, Molly. You tell me where we're going. 'Cause there's so many options and I don't know
There are.
what you consider. I will trust you to consider what is most important for people to know about.
Well, let's talk about the pelvic floor.
Ah, yes.
So, that is, I have got to give I think this is an internet thing, honestly, I really do. I think that the mothers who are giving birth today are really smart. And like you said, they are getting more access to a greater variety of information. And when they found out that in other countries, all pregnant women get postpartum pelvic therapy, physical therapy for the pelvic floor, they have started storming the gates because having a baby, of course, it's a normal, natural thing. But it's also re really important during this year after the pregnancy to do what your body needs you to do to get that pelvic floor in appropriate tone again. Part of the challenge of this is that we live in a society where we do not move our bodies in the way that we were evolved to move, right? I'm not a hunter-gatherer. I am not wandering through the garden next door looking for plants and berries to feed myself. I don't have to do that, which is a lovely thing. But that means that my body isn't moving in those ways that would naturally rehabilitate my pelvic floor. So we need to pay particular attention to how we are feeling after pregnancy. If your doctor tells you that hemorrhoids are normal, that pain during intercourse is normal, that leaking when you sneeze or you cough or you laugh is normal, oh, you've had a baby, that's normal. Let me tell you, that is not normal. That is not how we're supposed to function. That means that there are some structural issues happening with the pelvic floor, and there is help for that. It's not as doing Kegels is not the magic answer. And I confess that when I was a childbirth educator, I did instruct people to do 200 Kegels a day, but that was many years ago. That is no longer a thing, right? And I think you've had podcasts where you've talked about the pelvic floor. What's important is that there are going to be muscles that have stretched too much and muscles that are too tight. If we do Kegels and keep tightening those other muscles, it's just going to make the problem worse. We need to strengthen the weaker muscles and stretch the ones that are too tight and bring balance back to the pelvic floor. So if you're experiencing any of those symptoms, it's really important to know that you don't have to live like that for the rest of your life. You really don't. There are lots of things with the help of a physical therapist who does pelvic floor care that you can do to make it so that you're not peeing when you sneeze or having hemorrhoids get worse. And worst of all, if you're having pain during intercourse, that has to be addressed. That doesn't have to stay like that.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that. Mothering or being a parent requires enough sacrifices, right? That's mm-hmm. sort of the state of mind that we fall into, of putting ourselves last. And and I really appreciate shifting that image. Not to say that you don't sacrifice. There's plenty that you do. I mean, already you're giving up. You're not giving up, but lending your body to this baby for. During pregnancy up until you're postpartum, like you're still, especially if you're exclusively breastfeeding, this baby is on you and your body's doing all these things, changing still its blood volume to support the needs of your child. You're already physically sacrificing enough. Let's try to take care of yourself as much as possible and understand that pain is a huge way in which the body communicates. And yes. If you're feeling pain, like if you're breastfeeding and it hurts, it shouldn't. If you're right. having sex and it's hurting, it shouldn't. And really Correct. Not just go, well, it's part of life. No.
And that's what I do. You know, a lot of my clients that I see are having issues with all sorts of different parts of their body. And I'm not a pelvic physical therapist, so I don't do any of that interior work, but I do help people a lot with how well are you peeing? Can you control your urine? How well are you pooping? And are you enjoying your sex life? Those three things, which we treat as these very secret, private, oh, and it doesn't matter whether it works or not, parts. Those three things are fundamental in our ability to move. To move without getting embarrassed, and to just enjoy life, just to be out there enjoying things. So what I really encourage all of my clients to do, especially my pregnant and nursing mamas, is to find ways to incorporate a bigger spectrum of movement in their lives. Is there a way for them to actually, instead of putting everything right where they don't have to reach for it, Once they're getting past that initial postpartum period where they feel they can actually move around. But, you know, can you stretch up to reach things? Can you put things where you need to squat down to get them? Incorporate these natural movements that help your pelvic floor, help pump the lymph and blood around and out of your breasts to keep them healthy, help pump and move the lymph around your digestive tract to keep that healthy and your uterus healthy. How are you moving your body in such a way that your body can take care of itself just by the way all of those fluids and the energy and the nervous system, that they're all flowing well? We are meant to take care of ourselves. We are meant to go through these structural changes. And then we are also meant to come back around to a healthy, normal place after those structural changes. It doesn't make sense to wreck a woman with her first pregnancy. You know, nature wants you to have more than one. Nature wants you to have lots. So the process is meant to work in from getting pregnant to being pregnant to being ready to be pregnant again. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. It makes total sense. And to sustain lifelong health, because it's not just about the time you're pregnant, but how right. these changes in habits and structural realities can affect your life and hormonal changes too, right? How that can affect you 50 years from now or 40 years from mm-hmm. now or 20 years mm-hmm. from when you gave birth. Tell me yes. a little bit more about the importance of these pumping the lymph around, because you've mentioned it a couple of times, but I don't think that's something that Like, what does the body normally do? I know for circulatory, for blood, we've got the heart that's pumping things around, so that's constantly moving. But what about this idea of the lymph, and what is the lymph? What does it do? I know this is like, we don't have that much time, but
Well,
let me open this Pandora's box when we've got, 10 minutes left.
I think that's an excellent question, Adriana, because we really don't talk about lymph. And lymph is, I think when we're learning about how the body works, when we're in grade school, we're taught that the venous blood, the blood that is going back to the heart carrying waste products, we're taught that that is the part of our body that cleans up after things. But that's not really true. Yes, it's true that the venous blood is carrying some waste products and it's carrying carbon dioxide back to the lungs so that we can expel them. But the actual cleanup crew is part of our immune system. And the immune system is what holds the lymph. Lymph is a fluid that's made up of white blood cells and something called interstitial fluid, which is kind of extra water, cellular matrix water that's kind of wandering around the body. And it flows in between the cells. That's the interstitial part. But it also flows in these very delicate vessels, the lymph vessels, between all the different parts of our bodies. And intermittently, it gets filtered by the lymph nodes. And in the lymph nodes, they pick up things that don't belong and send those into the bloodstream. We have these things called macrophages, which gobble up things that don't belong in the body and send those off to the bloodstream too. The lymph is not moved by anything other than gravity and the movement of our body. And I'm going to focus on breasts because it's mostly women who listen to this podcast, I believe. So if our breast tissue extends underneath into our armpit, all of us who wear bras, and I've been wearing a bra my whole life because I have relatively large breasts, we have a band around the bottom of the bra. And then often if you're wearing an underwire bra, there's a hard metal piece that goes right into your armpit. And what that does is it presses on the skin, both where that elastic band is underneath and where the underwire is. And that means that the lymph, this cleaning out part, this cleaning out fluid that runs around and picks up all the stuff that shouldn't be there, gets stuck. It begins to stagnate. And when you've got things that don't belong in the body hanging out with delicate tissue like the breast tissue, it's like having bad neighbors. And bad things can happen. Now, cells can start to do things that they're not supposed to do. So we want to have movement. And this is where reaching for things and using your arm and your shoulder like a pump, how the muscle that's underneath the breast, that big pectoral muscle, using that as a pump when we're reaching for things or hanging from stuff actually helps to push that lymph out of there. But what we need to do is not have, we should have parts of the day where we're not wearing really tight bras so that our breasts can get that lymph moving in and out and clearing everything through. Our bodies are all liquid and we want to be a clear flowing stream. We don't want to be a stagnating lagoon somewhere.
I just got the image of the stagnating lagoon with the mosquitoes on top and all the like breeding malaria
breeding.
And right,
yeah.
And that's a great point. And you went to a more holistic perspective on it. I've always had a very narrow view of why you don't want underwire are in your bras during postpartum while you're nursing, because it can, one of the things it can do, that binding, is stagnate the breast milk, so creating mastitis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my mind always went to that. But again, poor little lymph, we don't talk about it that much. And the mm-hmm. fact that it gets pumped with movement and gravity is another reason for some, like, and it doesn't have to be insane movement. Like, I appreciate you saying stretch, just general, just move your body, not exercise your butt.
Well, this is one of the things that this is a belief that we have in our culture that I want to challenge. If a person has a relatively sedentary job, and then every day, I'll say every day, they work out for 45 minutes. They're very good. They're very religious about it. They go to the gym and they work out and they do all the things for 45 minutes. Yes, for that 45 minutes, it gets things moving around and their heart is getting a really nice workout. That is a wonderful thing, but they are still leading an extremely sedentary life. And that's the part that we often don't get, you know, that movement, our bodies are meant to be moving most of the time. And it's very difficult for the body to take that 45 minutes and make up for the other 15 and a half hours that it wasn't moving because we were driving in the car, sitting at the desk, watching the television, you know, whatever it is that we're doing. And another myth too is that a standing desk takes care of that. Well, no, not if we're just standing at the desk. We're still in a static position that's the same and doesn't change for many hours at a time. So it's wonderful that we've got apps on our phones and our watches and on our computers. And I encourage people to use them that remind us, you know, go take a walk around the water cooler, go and run up and down a couple of sets of stairs and then come back to work again. Get your body moving, get that lymph moving, get your blood moving, get your heart beating, because that's what our body needs for health is flow, everything flowing.
Mm-hmm. And so, and it's not knocking the, like, stop going to the gym. It's not that. Like,
no,
continue
no,
doing your
all.
Exercising, making sure you're toning and not super tightening, like, especially mm-hmm. for pregnancy and giving birth. That's a whole different, mm-hmm. I'll link to that episode too.
Yeah.
Because you want to be able to get that baby out without that much trouble.
Right.
But yeah, it's like you're speaking to me directly in terms of don't just use those little movements that you do once in a while to make up for all the many hours that you're not moving.
Right, right.
Incorporate more movement in your daily lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay, we're over time, but I'm going to still give time for one more thing. What is there any one last thing that we haven't gotten to that you really wanted us to get to?
No, I think I'm looking through my notes. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I didn't bring up?
I think my last question would be, we talked about how you know, during postpartum, there's all these things that can make it harder for you and to get yourself in a more supported movement and supported positioning of yourself. Is there something you can do during, aside from what we already mentioned, in terms of during pregnancy to help lessen what you have to recoup from?
Well, I think what we were saying before in terms of continuing to move in lots of different ways, continuing to, you know, condition your body a little bit with walking or whatever you want to do so that when you go into pregnancy or when you go into birth, that your body is used to doing things because birth is a very physical activity. But I guess I'm going to come at this from a different point of view than or a different place than where you're trying to lead me. I think that the postpartum process in our country is just so diabolical. The things that we really need, I think we need to look to other cultures for like actually having a period, and I cannot believe this word is going to come out of my mouth, a period of confinement, a period where after the baby is born, the mom is only expected to take care of herself and her baby, where she is kept warm, where her belly is kept wrapped, where she is not having to do really physical things in that first 3 to 4 weeks, which may seem to be contrary to the other things that I'm saying. But after in that immediate period of time after the baby's born, mother's body is really vulnerable. All of her bones are loose. She's trying to reincorporate all of this extra blood and tissue that she grew during the pregnancy. So that's a time to be really, really gentle. After that time, when a period has come, like when she's going into a normal, not a period, I take that back, when she's done bleeding, because she may not have a period if she's breastfeeding for another year and a half. So we don't want to use that as a measure. But at the end of that 4 to 6 to 8 week period, depending on whether she's had a cesarean or whatever, then we start to incorporate some normal movement back and challenging the body a little bit. But that's when a lot of women are starting to go back to work. So we really don't have a situation that's healthy for women while they're pregnant, immediately after they have the baby, or in the long term for the rest of that 9 months after the baby's born, as the body's trying to change. More humane societies give women a year of paid leave to work on taking care of themselves and getting their bodies back. So I'm hesitant to give any real advice because often people can't take that. There's not a system in place in order for them to do these things. So all I can offer is be as gentle as possible, surround yourself with a circle of support, and do what you can and feel good about that.
Yeah, and evaluate during pregnancy how long are you able to take and how, set up a good village of support. Know that you're going
Yes.
to need it, so don't assume you're going to be super anybody.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So that you can have that grace for yourself and not, again, be sacrificing your recovery.
Right.
Yeah,
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool. And I think as the more we ask for it and the more we acknowledge it and the more we demand it, then we will start getting it more. So I believe, I don't know if I'm over optimistic, but I believe that we're moving in that direction, hopefully.
Well, I'm always holding that space, Adriana. I think it's really important to hold that vision out there in the future and to support women who are really trying to make it happen in this moment. There are people who are working towards that. And like you said, during the pregnancy, you can do some strategizing about how you want things to be afterwards. I'm very cautious about that kind of thing because often I've worked with enough first-time moms, and my own first-time mom experience was that until I actually had the baby, I had no idea what my life was going to be like as a recovering parent, as someone recovering from a cesarean with a newborn. So many times we think that we're going to take our maternity leaves to finish our master's degree, or we're going to get the house painted, or that we just don't realize how much work it is to take care of a little human.
Insane. And so there's the thing, right? It's, I think, just if you don't do anything else, don't have another takeaway from this episode other than start preparing your mind for the fact that postpartum is a moment to embrace slowness. Just because otherwise your mind drives you crazy. Your body's screaming for this calm, and you're like, I'm not getting anything done. And, da, 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 and this baby's taking up all my time. Of course it is. But, da, 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 and I am useless. It's such a did nothing today. Like, it will drive you crazy.
Yeah, my favorite thing that I like to say to people is, look, if you've had breakfast and a shower before noon, you are a rock star. So let that be your measure of success.
No kidding. I will link to my video on why it's so hard to take a shower with a
Yes.
newborn.
Oh, that is so good, Adriana. You can never watch that enough times. It's true. Yep.
Things don't change. That's what it's like. Molly, thank you so much for being on the show today. If people want to connect with you, how can they do that?
Well, my website is spiritorganic.net, and my email address is molly@spiritorganic.net. We have a business Facebook page. You can email us from the website, and I respond to all the things. So I'd love to hear from anyone who has any questions.
Yeah, and Molly is extremely generous with her knowledge and time. So definitely love you for that, Molly.
Oh,
And
thank you.
yeah, and as if like if you didn't get the idea or the understood, if you didn't understand this from throughout the show, we are friends because we're both in Rochester, New York. So w
Yay.
this was like when we go out for a coffee and hang out and talk about these. Thanks so much, love.
Thank you very much, Adriana.
Mighty Ones, find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about me, the show, send me messages, and more. And if you're looking to prepare for life with your newborn, then go to birthfulcourses.com and sign up for my online postpartum preparation classes. Do it now before baby arrives so you can get postpartum ready. To get access to ad-free episodes and the extra content for this episode, which includes a quick reference handout on how to support your posture during pregnancy, go to patreon.com/birthful and join the official Birthful community. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, the Birthful Patreon supporters, and by the wonderful people at Vistaprint and Unspoken Stories. To best support this podcast, support its sponsors, and get discounts while you're at it, go to vistaprint.com/birthful for 500 high-quality custom business cards starting at $9.99, and subscribe to Unspoken Stories for free wherever you get your podcasts or listen at unspokenstories.org. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin MacLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Also, the Birthful podcast is part of the Parents on Demand Network, a network of podcasts focused on parents. Download the free Parents on Demand app on Apple and Android for easy on-the-go listening. And since this is a renewed episode, I have no idea what Molly had for breakfast, but I can only imagine. I'm Adriana Losada. Please join me next week when I'll be talking to a mighty parent as they share their amazing story here at the Birthful Podcast. Thanks so very much for listening. This episode is copyright 2019 by Adriana Losada.